Totally. Are you guys all ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Stop. All right.
There you go. All right. Call this meeting to order. As most have probably noticed, this will be a slightly different format for the meeting, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get into it. We do have some regular business to do, but then the meeting will be a bit more interactive and engaging with primarily the group around this table. However, there will be opportunity for everyone in the room who wants to participate, and Dr. Baker will sort of give the guidelines and framework on how we're going to go about doing that when we get to what will be item 8 on the agenda. Also note, there is no closed session tonight. So we'll go right to approval of the agenda. Are there any requests and changes on the agenda? Okay, we'll consider it approved. 3A, communication from members of the public for items not on the agenda. So in this case, if anyone wants to speak on items not on the agenda, we will take blue cards as normal. However, we have not received any. But as I mentioned, the format for the discussion item will be slightly different. So in that case, we will not require blue cards for participation. And we'll just, again, talk about how we're all going to do that when we get there. So I'll just move on to item 4A, public hearing notice for textbook availability. So I will open the public hearing and then ask if there are any comments on item 4A. Okay, seeing none, we will close the public hearing. We have one action item, which again moved out of order. So this, oh, we're doing this before. So.
Yeah,
this right, okay. So this is resolution 5A. Action item 5A, resolution number 51213 for textbook availability. I will take a motion to approve 5A.
So moved.
Do I have second?
Second. Do we have any discussion or is there any elaboration you need to give on
no.
MA? Are there any comments or questions from board members? Okay. Seeing none, we have a motion and a second. I will call for a vote. All in favor of resolution number 51213, please say aye.
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 Aye. That's 5-0. Thank you. Now we'll move on to the consent agenda, which, for those of you who are not familiar with our meetings, the consent agenda are the series of action items that we approve en masse without discussion, although any board member can ask to pull one item out for separate discussion action. So are there any requests for pulling any items off the consent agenda? Okay, then I'll ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I so move.
Second.
Yeah, we have a motion. I think Carol beat us the punch on that one. On second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We have two information items that are just sunshining items, so just to be presented. 7A, sunshining the SCTA opener for 2012-2013. Now that is on the agenda and it's available on the desk, right? For anyone out there? Okay, so anyone want a copy of that? Are there any questions or comments about that? This is the purpose of this item is just to make it public, not necessarily to do anything else, but okay. Great. And let's go on then to 7B, sunshining the SESD negotiations opener with SCTA for 2012-2013. Also available up front and online. Are there any comments or questions on those? All right. Consider them sunshined. All right. We will now move on to the meat of the, in fact, our only other item other than comments for tonight, which is 8A, the strategic plan workshop. And I will turn that over to Dr. Baker to sort of give context.
Okay. Thank you very much. A couple ground rules. First, I am very excited about this day and have been looking forward to it quite a bit because the Giants are second game.
But don't tell you they all come.
I'm just telling you, there are some of us in the room who are taping this game. So for those of you who all keep looking, and I know some of you will, I just ask that you not do the hooping and hollering unless you promise to do it randomly and actually not be truthful. And every once in a while, just go, aw. And you have to have equal awes and yays, and then it's okay. But I really don't. don't want to know.
Well, we don't know who they're rooting for, so.
And I know there are others in the room who feel the same way. So I know some of you will not be able to refrain, so I can't stop you there. But please do try not to let us know if you would. The outcomes of this meeting, our hope for outcomes, really are to further develop ownership and commitment to the strategic plan. And, you know, we've worked really hard to open up the process and make sure we're hearing from all constituencies possible. And we're here today to compare notes of various retreat settings in which we went through almost exactly the same process, but in which we didn't share what the other groups were doing so that we wouldn't be tainted with the other groups' thoughts going in. And today we get to compare those and try to make a little more sense out of it and hopefully walk out of here with minimally 3 to 5 targets or goals for the district, and thinking either 5 to 10 years out, where do we want to be and what do we need to focus on? You know, what are those targets? A little bit of history here. So it started with last year, the 21st Century Learning community meetings, in which staff and community members came together to learn about 21st Century Learning and what is the future of teaching and learning from the perspective of educators all around the world, frankly. We then went from that to a board retreat facilitated by an outside consultant. And then we used that same process, and we did a facilitation in the summer also with the administrative team. Exact same process, only that time Mary Jude and I basically ran that one. And then we decided after that we really wanted to do the exact same thing with a group of staff. And we had, I want to say, 14 staff and ourselves, I think. Staff that were primarily teachers, but also three members of CSEA. And I think that made up everybody there.
Yeah, we had general ed and special ed representatives.
General ed and special ed. So we tried to spread it out. We tried to make sure every school was represented, although we didn't ask staff to represent their staffs. We made sure every school was represented, but not because they were there to say, this is where we are as a staff. They were there representing themselves as educators, obviously they know generally how their staffs feel about things, but that was not their job at that meeting. So that's the history of it. And after we did some of the processes, we did share afterwards a little bit, well, what did the board say about that, and what did AC say about it? So each time we did iterate a bit on it, but we never shared that information until after the fact. What else? And so then we sent out the three targets that each of the three groups has. So we had those 9 targets. We sent them out to the schools. The staff representatives here took one more crack at it with staff, so that it had a little broader set of staff eyes on it. And there were varying conversations around the district around those. You should have the results of those here today, and you'll be reflecting on those in a little bit. I think that's how we got here today. And our hope is, we had said that we're going to have another meeting of the staff group on November
1st.
And then November 19, we on our professional development day, we are going to do a whole district review of where we are with the strategic plan and get more input from there. Our hope is to have a draft of whatever the product will be of this site plan, to have that drafted in December, so that in January the board can give a rough approval of what is there, but knowing that the whole rest of the year we have to be working on it as well. And the goal ultimately is that by the end of this school year we'll have a strategic plan that has been approved by the school board. Mary Jude, anything you can think of I left out on the process?
Just it may be good to get a sense of the room and do some introductions around the room.
Definitely. Okay. So with that, now I also want to say that in a bit we're going to do several exercises in which you will be getting up and getting your exercise, 21st Century Learning at its best. When we do that, this is the kind of meeting where it's really great for everyone to move on in. We tried to put out chairs that match the number of people that were coming tonight that were in one of the strategic plan sessions. But as we go into the next processes, everybody is going to participate, hopefully. And hopefully we'll just, you know, spread out a little bit and make room, and everybody will be up here at the table. So it is, as Seth had mentioned, it's a very different format for us. With that, I think we should go around and just do a very quick introduction of who you are, what your affiliation is with the district, and whether you're a Giants fan. So, going that way, how about, let's start with trustees and we'll go around this way, if that's all right. So, Seth, you
want to do
this real quickly. There you go.
Oh, that's you.
You are not great, major.
Oh, here I am, Seth Rosenblatt. And,
Besides
being a board member, also a parent of two children, an eighth grader and a sixth grader, somewhere. Yeah, at Tierra Linda. And
That's it.
Perfect.
Good. Beth Huckabiller, board member. I have incoming grandchildren.
Yeah. Adam Rack, board member. I have a kindergartner, second grader at BA, and a fifth grader at Central.
I'm Carol Elliott. I have a 10th grader at Sequoia who came up through White Oaks and Central, and a 7th grader at Central who also came up through White Oaks.
I'm Kathleen Farley. I have a 1st grader and a 4th grader, both at White Oaks.
I'm Mary G. Dorpinghaus. I'm the Director of Ed Services and also a parent of a 7th grader at Central Middle School. I am not a Giants fan. I am a Packers fan.
So, in a few minutes here, we're going to be breaking up into groups that have people from the different
people.
Most of you are people.
That is shocking.
I got caught up on that for a second. there will be representatives from each of the three different retreats in small groups of 5 or 6, and we have those groups made up. But before we do that, I wanted to just take a minute to get some, just real quickly, anything stand out, general thoughts as you walk around that that you'd like to just point out. And we're not going to have a long discussion about that. We want to hear those thoughts so that in going into this next section, you can really dive into the task of trying to agree on the commonalities across the groups that would make good targets for the district over the next 5 or more years. Okay? Anything? Anybody? Anything stand out? Anybody?
Just raise your hand.
Yeah. I'll say something. I saw the social skills and the common language among all the schools, you know, to support the life skills, and I think that is really important with kids these days because they're so tuned in to technology and they need to learn all of those life skills of how to communicate with people. So it would be good if we had a common language like that in our district.
That really popped out. And I will say I heard that from a few people as I walked around listening, and it seemed to come out a lot. Anything else that stands out? Or surprise you, or something you wouldn't have thought you'd see?
There's a post-it note back there that says Golden Donut. Yeah. And it's on one of the targets that my group created. Yeah. And a bunch of teachers are going, what does that mean? And I could not remember. But then we remembered. It is that, you know, if you look at one of those targets, do you see how it's shaped like a donut? Yeah. We were saying that was the Golden Donut. That whole thing about professionalism and staff development is like, it's key to making everything flow. Like bring the staff in and up, and that's and everything becomes golden. So that's what I remember.
Excellent.
Golden donut.
Wow.
And to tie into that, when I was looking at the opportunities, professional development was on every chart, and I thought, wow, we all see that as a really big opportunity. So that's
great. Any other big picture or general thoughts?
One of the things that jumped out at me was I just saw every group had a lot of representation of the fact that they are embracing the fact that changes, the world we live in is changing, and that teaching is changing, and schools are changing, and what we have to do is changing, and maybe we've gone through the 5 stages of denial, anger, grief, and we've gotten to acceptance, I don't know what it is. And there were appropriate amounts of, like, caution in the process and so forth, and I think that's, you know, the fact that everybody kind of is on the same page that, you know, there are going to be changes, and that we, the things we need to pay attention to are how that happens, how it's processed, how it relates to the classrooms, is kind of the details that will come about, and hopefully that is what's going to happen.
Great. Anything else?
I'll say something. So kind of building on what Carol was saying, I think what I came away with each one is just how lucky our students are. Because I think everyone's on board for making changes that will make them successful, not only in school, but in life.
Do you have any?
I do, but I was going to wait for give other people a chance first.
Go ahead, chime in.
Okay. Yeah, there were some definitely, I mean, clearly there was a lot of similarity in a lot of areas, and I noticed a few things. The life skills, sort of non-cognitive skills kind of stuff was clearly there. Global came up a lot. I noticed, particularly creative on the last one, I guess that was the teacher one. San Carlos goes global. That was a big sticker on that, and there was like Norway 2020 or something that said it was very... Was that what it said?
Well, that was our newspaper headline.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
It was the headline, right.
Headlines, and we were talking yeah. about...
Yeah, yeah, that definitely jumped out at me. Very creative and emblematic, I think, of what you know needs to happen. The only thing I noticed, I mentioned this to a few people as we were talking up there, and I thought of this as I read some of the notes before. There was a lot of similarities, but the board one, I think, which makes sense, right? The board one was sort of a level of abstraction above the other two. That's two good reasons, because it's you talk about the nature of the role, right? We sort of have to abstract it into sort of an issue of what does it mean for policy, what does it mean for budget, what does it mean for that kind of thing. And at the same time, we don't have the level depth of knowledge, right, to come up with the specific things. Like on the teacher, there was stuff about the research and partnering with universities. I mean, that's not stuff that, right, that I would come up with. That's not the nature of what we do. But a lot of it, I was trying to map them, and albeit we didn't use all the same taxonomy. And on some level, it doesn't really matter so much because it's sort of a multidimensional problem. It can't really be put in a clean list, but it really maps a lot of it pretty well, which I thought was really interesting. So I actually thought that that made a lot of sense to actually see it at that different levels of depth. You know, the 30,000 foot, the 5,000 foot on the ground. So so it was really interesting.
Among all of us, there seems to be quite a common vision, and I think, like what Steph was saying, it's like, you know, the teachers, what we do every day is we take a big concept and we break it down into the little steps. You know, how am I going to get my kids to understand, you know, the theory of relativity? So you break it, you have to break it down into small baby steps, and so we're doing that all the time. So it's so key that this is a collaborative process. That's what we do best, so we need to draw on that strength as well. And I think there's a lot of opportunities for collaboration and also for the teachers to be resources to each other, because we do sometimes feel divided even though we're a very small school district. We don't feel like we have a lot of opportunity to collaborate.
Others?
Anything else before we move into our next activity? If somebody is sitting there not saying something, but you're thinking you want to, but you're not, now's the time. Okay, well, thank you for doing that. So our next, and this next part is really the main part of the meeting, where we made these groups, and I'll tell you who's in what group of the people that I knew were coming. And then it looks like we're probably gonna have about seven people in a group once everybody finds a group, maybe eight in some. And your task is going to be to try to create at least three and no more than five targets based on all of the things you've seen here, the notes you see, the added work that the staff did around the nine targets, and try to coalesce those in a way that you feel they embrace the perspectives of the three groups. like Jen was just saying, it's important to, it's a strength that there is that difference of perspective, and we want that to be reflected. I want to ask you not to get bogged down in wordsmithing. That's really not important. It really, it can be a bulleted, elliptical, dot, 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 you know, fashion, because there, the next step will have people wordsmithing it. And as you know, that we don't want to do that by committee. That never goes well. that's going to be the challenge here, is how do you get enough specificity that the group says, yeah, that makes sense. I can live with that. That does capture what I think is one of the top five most critical targets for us to have, and to let go of the exact wording and not worry so much about whether it's 100% there, because we will do many, many, many iterations of this over the course of this school year. And let's see what else I have here. We have facilitators for each group, and I'll tell you who those are in just a second. Their job is to keep you moving along. Please give them permission to hold you off and move to somebody else. They're going to do a soft facilitation. They don't have a set script of things. Here's what we're doing, because we're just giving you the task, asking you to do it. The one thing I ask them all to do is to make sure that everybody in the group gets a chance to talk. And I ask you to help in that and make sure nobody's dominating, and that the goal here, and the reason we made them cross group teams, is to make sure you're hearing those different perspectives that we were just talking about before. Okay? So please give your facilitator that chance. We need a note taker in each group. That could be a role that somebody who hasn't been in the groups could play, who's here tonight but wasn't in one of the strategic planning sessions, but it doesn't have to be. You'll be putting things on chart, but also it's good to have a hand note taker as well, so that we have both of those just in case. And when we're done, you're going to come back here, and as a team, your job is going to be to advocate for the 3 to 5 that you have. You are going to say, this is what we think, and this is why we think it's good, and come at it, even if you haven't been 100% uniform, share it with us in a way that's like, boy, we have the right answer here. All right? And we get to hear from each of the 5 groups. And obviously, hopefully we won't all of a sudden go from the few that we have now to a whole bunch more, but we'll see how that turns out. Any other thoughts about the task?
The 2 things that you should take with you is the blue handout, which has the 9 targets, and then also this one, which has the campus site targets, and as well as your utensils, etc. There's 5 different stations, 5 different groups. Back there will be group number 1, in that corner back there. Group number 2 will be in this area over here. Group number 3 is right here. 4 is back there, and 5 is in the lab.
Okay, so, and we might have to restate those because you don't know what number you're in, so you're not remembering all those, right? I'm going to start with group 1, and the facilitator is Stephen Kaufman, and in that group is Seth and Elizabeth Veal and Christina Carrier and Sheila, and then Liz is not here, right?
Right.
So Jennifer, why don't you do that if you would, because I didn't get you on a group. So if you would do that one. So that's group 1 and they're over here, is that what you said?
Group 1.
Group 2, facilitator is Marie, and that is with Beth Unkefiller, Adam Paulson, Mary Carvalito, who will be here, and I told her when she gets here to look for you, Marie. Jill, 7, and
Meredith, I don't think Meredith.
Meredith is not here. Okay. So when we're done with the groups, there'll be a few of you left over that I didn't know would be here. We're going to spread you into these groups. So that's one group that will be down a person. So I'll make sure we get one more there.
You don't have to move, Marie. You're right in your spot.
And so Marie stays there. Perfect. Group 3, Lorraine. Here's Lorraine. And with her are Carol, Elliot, John, Triska, Shelley Murphy. Yeah. And Jen Lynchy. I also haven't, we don't have another open here, I think, so that's another one we'll put.
Maybe.
So we'll, do that after. And where is group 3?
Right there, group 3, you just have to walk a few feet.
Hop over there.
Repeat.
The next group is Tom Keating is the facilitator, and with Tom is Adam Rack, Pam Jasso, Suzanne Webster-Morris, Andrea Anderson, and then we might have another slot there too.
Group 4, back in the room. Against the wall.
By that door that's back there? Okay, and then group 5 is in the computer lab, and that will be Lynette is the facilitator, and then Kathleen Farley, John Nazar, Liz Green.
Is Liz here? I didn't see her. She was coming.
She did say she was coming, so we'll see on that one. Karen Bloom and Alejandro. All right. So, with that, if the people whose names were not said, stay with me, and then I get to assign you to a different group. But with that, can people go to their groups? And those facilitators have the list, so if you're wondering, wait, where am I supposed to be? They what I want to do is, because again, you will see so many similarities, I wanted to start by having one person just, with great passion, just take a minute of passion to show, just talk through very quickly what your group came up with. Let's hear all of them, and then we're going to talk about where we see the most similarities and anywhere where we don't, okay? Let's start with group number, we're going to go backwards. Let's go with group number five, or was five?
Okay.
Was that the one in there? Okay.
Yes. So we looked at commonalities between all of the nine targets, and we came up with our three big buckets. The first being teaching and learning in the 21st century and how it aligns to curriculum instruction, aligning curriculum instruction to the Common Core standards, project-based learning, and boundless learning. So different ways of looking at cells and bells, if you will. And the little arrows, we found that professional development falls into that, the use of technology falls into that, facilities planning, and social-emotional learning. Then we talked about designing and developing new and existing facilities to align with student outcomes. And again, professional development is involved, boundless learning is involved, social-emotional learning, and the use of technology. And then we talked about how this is going to need an evaluation process. So data-driven and evidence-based reevaluation and reflection to continuous improvement. And again, professional development, technology, and social emotional learning.
Is that your umbrella or is that a different group?
No.
Different group.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's the artistic group.
Let's go to the umbrella.
All right. So we were going to do a song and dance of Singing in the Rain, but Craig would only let me speak, so we can't do it with the whole group.
Yeah, the problem with that is you can't.
You wouldn't want to hear me either. So we talked about the overall umbrella of what we're trying to achieve was the whole child. That was kind of our overarching objective that we wanted to get to. And then what was holding that up and driving that was the learning models that we determined were the best to achieve that objective. Of the social academic, the citizenship, the health and well-being that fully round the child. And then the things that helped drive those were both put the 21st century educator and the things that were needed, the professional development, collaboration, the resources, the time, the Common Core standards to support that 21st century educator. And then on this end was those learning environments, the flexible spaces, the boundless learning, the indoor, outdoor, the outside the classroom, global, the facilities and the technology infrastructure that help to support those learning models and help really overall just drive what we're trying to achieve with the whole child.
Great. You know what, let's do group one because that's an interesting blend of those first two, I think. So let's do that one. Come on.
No, it is.
Improvisation, it's like a 21st century.
Yeah. Okay, so we were really minimalist at first, so we started on just with and then from that, we felt we needed to add a little bit to it. But it really was Venn diagram-like, where each of these could definitely be on top of each other, kind of similar to that. We, of course, were talking about how it's way more complicated than just a two-dimensional Venn diagram. But so again, learner, global citizenship, well-rounded, collaboration, social-emotional, the educator, right, the people, the student, professional development, time to design, teachers as leaders, create and grow. And then the environment, not necessarily the word we would fall on, we talked about ecology, and then the personalized learning, the flexible learning space, time to learn, sustainable facilities, and boundless.
So how about this one here then? This is group three, I think, or two.
Okay, so now we're gonna get into overlap with everybody. So our big overarching piece was
was the emotionally, socially well-rounded student. So again, we're seeing this all over. We saw the other pieces as, you know, supports for this. So we started with staff development, but then we realized it's not just staff, it's also community development. So widening it quite a bit. And thinking about parents pre-K to 8, you know, how do we bring them along and really support them in this whole process? So so that everybody's a part of it. Communication was huge in this. So we were thinking a lot about that. And we need to make sure that we are not only developing but communicating really well. That relevant, unbounded learning environment was also something that was huge for us. And then also looking at how technology and facilities are seamlessly planned together. We're sort of in the middle of that right now. Then we had a nice discussion also about a regular cycle of review. And again, that communication piece, making sure that everybody is communicated with, the community knows where we're at, we're reviewing, we're transparent, and we're really able to show step by step how we're going. So that's where we're at.
And our last one?
4.
It's the same.
What you thought at first?
The first one is the curriculum piece, aligned curriculum and instruction to address social and emotional well-being, and it is student-driven curriculum, and it's whole child, it's embracing the whole child, and it's a well-rounded education, and it's global. And when we say well-rounded, we don't mean we grind all the facets off the child and make them a standardized being, right? We mean we address the entire spectrum of what could make a child a genius, right? But in our schools today, we don't address all of that. We address a very narrow band. And 21st century educators, this is our, when we started talking about professional development, but we just said we want our educators to be 21st century beings, supporting 21st century students and learning. We want quality and innovative approaches to PD, and lots of opportunity to collaborate. So we heard that in many places. And then our physical structures, new types of schools, classrooms, maybe classrooms, we're not sure, with time and resources to be able to design and use them well. And there was a lot of talk about the design of classrooms coming from the educators and those that are working with children. And, we didn't like the word delivering instruction. Right. It's not handing it out and receiving it anymore. But whoever's doing that instruction needs part of that design.
So, would it be fair to say that that there's a lot of commonality, that all of the elements are there, and I'm presuming, I guess let me ask this question, is there anybody who feels that there is either something missing in looking at all of this? Forget whether it's 3 or 5 or 7 different goals or if it has to be reframed, et cetera. Is there something either missing or that you don't agree is critical as a, you know, a large outcome for the next 5 to 10 years in terms of a big focus for the district? Something missing? Something that shouldn't be there because it doesn't reach that level? Or is it that our job really is just to coalesce that in a cogent, coherent manner and bring it back?
I mean, I think something that seems to have come up in many of them is technology, and I'm not sure if that should be its own individual goal or if it can be embedded in every facet.
Right.
So that's kind of...
Yeah, that's what this group did with all of these, right?
Yeah.
But some of these, like the social-emotional learning that is in this group, in other groups, was elevated to center, front and center. But you can also look at it across professional development, same thing. Is it front and center or is it a strand through all of them? And that's, you know, they had technology and infrastructure kind
but
of
I
stuff.
I just wonder if technology is a big enough problem
problem to tackle, that it would be better if it was its own individual goal. As I mean, I know it's going to be embedded into everything, but it seems to be such a bear to tackle, as all 100 of us very well.
Right.
and you know, I don't know if that's just my big question is.
Right.
Is it better embedded and broken down into different components, or is it better to be its own goal?
Anybody have a thought on that?
Well, I'm on that 21st century committee that's been working with this, and when you put it separately, I get nervous about putting it as a separate entity, because it's the way the world is changing and growing, and the way our technology is becoming part of all our lives, it's just embedded in everything. But if you address it separately, it has the potential to be a separate kind of standalone issue. And everything changes so fast. That's why it's such a problem. We can't seem to keep up with it. But if we talk about 21st century learning as a broader entity, and it really is the way we design and think about our instruction and the work we do with children and our learning, it's technology is in that everywhere. So I don't know, I just get nervous about having it. We talked about that as a group, that it's hard, you know, really, you don't want a technology component. You want technology embedded in everything, because it's how we live our lives, right?
Yeah.
We use it constantly. It's a tool. So that's how I don't know, I kind of think of it.
Yeah, I think anything you try to pull out and do too much with individually wouldn't be the right way, particularly when you look at how all the groups approach this. So
okay. So that's something we can speak to more later on. It's good to raise that.
Well, just on that point, although I agree with the conclusion, I think it does speak to the fact that I think we have to make a special effort when we sort of flesh this out to either a statement somewhere or somehow it says that is an integral component. Because if you, you know, because the word global citizenship in and of itself doesn't imply, to some, depending on who's reading it, right? One could not infer, right? One could infer that it doesn't include technology, right? But I suspect that if we thought about it, we would say, well, of course, right? Then how does the way that you become a better global citizen? Obviously, you use technological resources to better connect you with places around the world, right? It's not just get a better textbook on what's happening in, you know, in India, right? So somewhere in the plan, it has to specifically state that it's our intention, that this is a tool that's going to be, that we believe it's a fundamental shift in the world, that this is going to be embedded in everything. And we have to be able to act on it, right? And so I think that's, and I think you can cover, because there's a risk by not. I think I agree with the conclusion that it's better not to put it in. But if you, the risk of not putting it in is that it gets forgotten in certain places.
Let's do it.
Right.
And
yes.
So where I do think it needs to be embedded is not necessarily as a tool, but if we are going to target the physical learning environment, then we need to ensure and be explicit that technology and the infrastructure and that the physical environment is going to be rich and ready for technology.
That's a good point. Right. That's right. That's right.
Piece of the puzzle.
That's right.
Yeah. I just want to, you have to be careful with technology.
Right.
We all say that's computers and wires and bells and whistles, but technology is a much broader term for the design world. And indeed, if we could communicate that, then I like it. But if we're just thinking about, hey, we're going to put wires in computers, I think it's too fine grained. It's not compounded.
So let me throw out one. I heard this said a couple of times, but didn't necessarily get raised. One group mentioned a little bit, but just the notion of design and innovation. You know, innovation in the 21st century, kids, having kids as innovators, which sometimes rubs up against standards, right? There's nothing that we want to standardize things, but they aren't necessarily in conflict. But that idea of, yeah, boy, we need innovators of the future. We need those problem solvers and things like that. So I suppose under one of
we
these categories.
We kind of talked about that, but we decided that it started with innovative approaches to PD and that we needed to create innovative mindsets in our teachers. And we already have that, but facilitate that, you know, sponsor that, nurture that so that we could then pass that on to the students.
Yeah.
So I think that was kind of our take on that piece.
Right, okay. And maybe through defining the 21st century as it was here and here, you know, that terminology of what do we mean by a 21st century education and learning, instead of that word, we at least more deeply define it to include things like innovation, design, innovation. Mm-hmm.
I agree. I wouldn't want to lose sight of that. Like, you know, I like the idea of getting kids involved in, like, really tough problems that take a long time to solve and you can't solve it just in a day, you know. And yes, I like teachers also thinking that way and administrators thinking that way and, you know, all of us. But, it is our, okay. But, you know.
That's what life is.
Kind of somehow or another getting that.
Yeah. What I noticed was that group five, was that the first one, right?
Yeah.
What you guys put in the last one, and I'm not sure if this is what you meant, but the part that you said that no one else said, including us, right, was the continuous improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that sort of resonated. I mean, and continuous improvement could apply obviously to a lot of things, right? So it could apply to just as a principle. This is, you know, this is a journey, not a destination, right? We're just going to continue to keep striving and improving in any particular area, in any taxonomy we have, right? And to me, that's about continuous improvement for educators, continuous improvement for learners, continuous improvement of the environment, and including the learners themselves as part of the instruments of innovation would seem to be a natural way to promote continuous improvement.
Very astute. So that came out of talking about rapid iteration, right? And how do you rapidly iterate in this type of environment? And how do you use data to do that? And how do you continuously improve? So right. It definitely, we didn't use the word innovation, but that was the germ that started the idea.
And something that we touched on in our group in relation to that was recognizing that when teachers are successful in doing that, they need a lot of support behind them. They need time, they need colleagues, they need everything so that can happen.
Right.
So building that in as well.
You know, it makes me think that one of the challenges that public schools or frankly any public institution has is, right, the nature of innovation requires the, in fact, willingness and expectation to fail.
Right.
And public institutions by nature are risk averse. Right? Because any time that someone thinks you're wasting money on something, you get lots of crap for it, right? And that's not waste, it's innovation. You know, it's the Thomas Edison, right, joke about he didn't fail, he just learned 10,000 ways it didn't work, right? But that's not what the public tends to expect of public institutions with taxpayer dollars. You're like, well, you make it work the first time, so inherently we get conservative and things that have always worked. So that, to me, is like, how do you create an environment that accepts some degree, obviously we don't want to take it to the extreme, but some degree of failure in the road to innovation? It's a real challenge. I, you know, love to figure out how to do that.
Well, we actually talked about failure in our group briefly as well, and talking about leveling it down, leveling our experimentation down to such an incremental level that you're not implementing an entire thing
right.
across the school. Everybody's
doing this.
You're
gonna blow $1 million, right?
With 3,300 kids are gonna try it this year.
Right.
You know, you prototype it, you,
right.
you try it, you have that teacher that's supported, that you know, is able to innovate, is able to respond, change, you know, on the fly, has the planning time, has the collaboration time, and then you work out the kinks, you know,
right.
there.
Well, I think the real question is about kids who test and try adults, you know, that sort of behavior, you know, the ones that grow up and become board members.
I was an angel. What are you talking about?
So I think that's where you began when you asked this question about innovators in the classroom. It feels that's, isn't that where that's what you meant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was. I knew it.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I'm on the 21st Century Committee, and I think, you know, we've had a couple meetings, and I think some of this is already happening, where people are trying different things in their classroom, and, you know, Tom's helping us get grants to try different programs with engineering and whatnot, kind of doing that where it's less of a financial risk, and then we can share what we learn and with the rest of the district. So.
That is true, and that's happening on other sites. It's great to see that. To Seth's point, there I will throw up there that schools were invented eventually to be institutions. Institutions, by definition, are there to protect themselves from risk. That's what they're there for. You build walls and everything, you keep the kids in, it's safe. Everything about it is there to, and this, all institutions are that way. And I think to the conversation your group was having over here about, what is school as a term doesn't work for the kind of learning we're talking about, because it implies a certain institution that is bounded in some way or another. So all of these things relate to that in some way.
And that's interesting because, we need to prepare children for their future, not our past and not our present. So what, it's hard to even imagine what their future is going to look like, but we can kind of get a sense of what direction it's going in. But I like the group that put in the community building communication component, because I think, when I try new things, like I'm doing this brainology program with some of my study skills kids right now, and it's fascinating, but there needs to be a parent component and educating the community component, because what I can do in the classroom with those kids is limited. But they're going to be impacted by what they go home and they hear from their parents and how their parents support them at home, or, are they going to say the right thing? How's grandma going to think about it too? So that is huge, and I think that's really key.
One thing that I thought that group two had that didn't permeate everybody else's was the inclusion of the pre-K. And I think that is definitely something that stood out to me and relevant.
Peter.
And I just
want to
say one
little
thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm going to take a little bit of time to be the curmudgeon, which seems to be my walk point lately. Are we putting the cart before the horse? I kind of wanted to expand on what Seth said about Edison. Even though Edison was kind of going through an iterative process to design the light bulb, he did have an elementary, fundamental understanding of electricity, Ohm's law, things like that. So if we can put it into context of how much time do we dedicate in what grades to doing this innovative, iterative design and engineering, how much do we let the kids or have teachers dedicate in fourth grade as opposed to eighth grade? And that doesn't seem, this seems to be kind of a holistic approach to the elementary education, and what may be more appropriate for the older kids doesn't seem to be. I mean, I don't know that I want my 6-year-old doing it in first grade. I'd rather have her get an understanding of what she's doing, what she's trying to accomplish, before she starts having this freedom to fail kind of put into her intellectual DNA. It's kind of a, I just put it out there for...
I do know what you're saying, and in the community meetings that we did all last year, I would say that was something raised by many parents, teachers, that notion of you can't give up on teaching basics and kids have to know how to do certain things. And I don't want to get too far into that today, because that's where we'll head in the future, but one of the things we do know today is that one of the great ways that people do learn to read and write and do math and apply it, et cetera, is actually at a younger age to be pushed to do these sort of design activities. And we have kids right now in many, many classes from kindergarten up who are doing those activities. So some of it is just not having a mind frame that we're having them all be engineers. That's not what the point is. But all kids, it is a skill set to have, to know how to innovate and how to try something and how to fail. It can be just doing an art project and you design it, you fail, you learn from it, you try it again, but not to see yourself as a failure. Because that's actually when it starts. That's the age when, it's actually kindergarten that kids start going, I'm no good at art. And then they stop doing it. Or I'm no good at right? Because they haven't come to say, no, you try again, keep going. You know, it's not about that you're not good at it. It's how do you persevere? Are you a risk taker? Can you get back up on your feet, et cetera? So without us going too far into it, I would say actually it's not the cart before the horse. It is the engine. You know, this is what we want our kids to be able to do. As educators, what do? When we want kids to learn something, we say, well, what do I do at kindergarten? Now what do I do at first grade? What do I do at second grade? What do I do at third? And how do I help that child be that person? And you work backwards from it. It's critical. If we believe innovation is critical, we have to design for innovation from a very early age. We could talk, I'm always happy to talk with you more, yes.
So, Julie, did you have something?
Okay.
You.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. That's actually kind of piggybacking off of what you said. When you came to our school and we had our school site council meeting and talking to parents about how it will look different, and, you know, instead of just getting 3 iPads for every classroom, it's like, where do we want to put our money and how are we getting our kids to develop and how it will, like I said, look different at different grade levels. So.
Right, that's our task. Mm-hmm. It's true, yeah. Yes. And yet, Tom, did you still have a... Because I want to talk about next steps from here.
I wanted to mention again, just emphasize the idea that whatever that group, whichever number that was, 3?
Two.
The expanding the development to the larger community and the parents. And we do some of that right now. I mean, we do, right? There's parent education and this sort of thing. But given the critical role, and given we talked about the context, right, the declining funding environment, the need to broaden the resource set, you know, it's inevitable that we need to do a better job at engaging that. So to me, like the technology, it's almost like one of those principles we have to sort of start embedding in everything and how we do it. But it's easier said than done, but, you know.
I had that similar thought on your groups where it said educator. I thought, for me, it's educator broadly defined.
Right, and that's sort of the last bullet was sort of getting at that a bit,
right, exactly.
But we didn't really go far as the professional development aspect of it. Yeah.
Right.
I thought that was really interesting.
Okay. Are we ready to just move on to, check my feeling is that I and a smaller group of people are able to take from this and put something together that would be great for everybody to reflect on. Specifically, the staff group was going to meet November 1, and so we could actually hopefully bring something very rough even by then to kick around, and then we'll play with it, and then we can get it out to everybody here and start doing it. So that's
a week.
Huh? It is a week. this is a sit in a room for a little bit and write project, I think. As you were all doing right here, there's just these threads and links to every single one of the stuff. There's nothing that... can't get put in there, so it's a writing task, I think, right now, and formatting, I would say, and drawing, maybe. Yeah. So in terms of a process, is that enough, you know, for us to just take the next steps and start writing things up so that we can kick it around a bit, bring it back to the board as soon as we can to have another chat and go from there? Let's see. Any other thoughts about a process? Remembering that all the we're going to do an all staff, the entire district review of this as well on November 19th. So that's a real hard date that we've got to get something done by minimally, and that from there, hopefully after that, we'll be able to convert it into something that the board could take a look at in December, January timeframe. Does that seem reasonable? Any other thoughts about a process that ought to be in place that isn't in place yet?
What is the November 19th? Is it a collaborative or is it more like a presentation?
It's going to be both. So I think what we're talking about doing is, we were going to talk about this with the group on November 1, but the gist of it is that we would do presentation for about a half hour or so of what we have, where we've been, that sort of thing, and then do a World Cafe sort of exercise in which all the staff go off and do different work around what we bring, and then bring it back again. And all that would happen in just the morning time of the 19th. That's the gist of it. Yes.
Does any board members have comments, questions about the process?
I wanted to just ask a little bit about communication ideas and plans. So, and I mean, I assume obviously once there's something written and drafted, that's something we could send out broadly, you know, to the community, or, you know, when we have a draft or something, you know, once it, of course, gets posted for a board meeting to be public, but I mean, in general. But I was even thinking before that, I will say, I'm actually pretty excited about the stuff I hear today, and, you know, there's always nuances, and I appreciate devils of the details, and, you know, easier said than done, and there's other constraints around being able to do all this stuff. But as a starting point, to be so relatively consistent, and for everyone to be, I'd like to report that to people, you know, beyond just the people who showed up tonight, right? And, you know, even whether it's more broadly to the community, whether it's an email describing the process, or maybe it's representatives from each school going back at each school and each staff and just giving a 5-minute update on what happened tonight, I think would be pretty helpful for everyone. So, I mean, but I'm not trying to overly prescribe it. I just mean as a concept, I'd like to communicate it fairly broadly and relatively often, given how much we've accomplished.
I think that we should wait until after the 19th and allow the teachers to have their opportunity to work with this and make plans, because I think that while a subset of teachers have worked on this in the accordion, this isn't owned yet by the people who are going to primarily work with students. And the ownership just isn't widely felt. So if we broadcast, you know, what the unanimity is among us, as we perceive it, it's as if it's done. So my feeling is just exercise a little patience, be excited, and wait.
Yeah, to be clear, I don't feel that strongly about it. I'm happy to wait. But I wasn't saying we broadcast the content. It was more just what's happened and the observations of what happened in the thing. Because I think that is relevant. Not saying, oh, we all agreed on boundless learning. That's not what I meant to say.
Okay. Yeah.
But I mean, again, we'll leave, and we can certainly leave this up to you too.
Let's think about that and what's most appropriate to do. I have to say, as having had the opportunity to just observe and walk around, take, you know, mental photos of everybody in here. There was something impressive and noteworthy, you know, this group of 33 people or whatever we are coming together. That is a broad representation of this community and the people who have been doing the work. And I do think that is worthy of letting people know that this is an exercise we're doing. We've been engaged in it for a couple of years in various ways, I do share Beth's thoughts about it, probably content-wise, not to say too much at this point, and wanting to fill it out a lot more before we go public with that. But yeah, I know what you're saying. You're saying it's more of a
right.
PR thing, or just like, hey, look what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the 19th, the PD day, are you going to invite the community, or is it going to be solely the teachers?
Just teachers, yeah.
And we're staff.
All staff.
Is there other things you wanted to accomplish on this agenda?
No, I think that was it. And I, to everybody who came on a World Series night when our team is there, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being on here.
So of course, you all are welcome to leave, but we do just have one agenda item. Feel free to leave, but we have to just go to comments. Or so you can stay for that. I'm sure it will take less than 5 minutes, but you're certainly welcome to go. So 9A, employee group comments. Is there anyone from
CTA?
No? Carol? No? Okay. Board member comments.
I just want to thank everybody for coming. I think your collective wisdom and perspective and experience inform this process tremendously, and it makes it just such a better outcome. So thank you.
Yeah. I would agree with Carol's remarks, but I just think also just remind everyone we got Measure H in a couple of weeks. Don't forget to go vote, and if there's some volunteer opportunities still available, so you can go and check that out. We're in the final push and have our fingers crossed. Let's move on.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for participating.
I was just going to say quickly, just two interesting events in the last 24 hours. One being that we had a school board association event of Santa Cruz, San Mateo, and Santa Clara counties last night, where Kevin Gordon and Jack O'Connell spoke a bit. So maybe another time I'll share, but they spoke a lot about what they think is going to happen post the election, particularly if the measure Prop 30 and 38 fail. And also with regard to what they think is going to happen back with weighted student formula and the governor. Apparently there's a fairly large meeting on November 16th in Sacramento with a lot of education leaders, and that's really going to kick off the let's get on the same page about, you know, the governor wanting to push this. There's other folks that want to broaden that discussion a bit in terms of education reform, finance reform and stuff. So, and our group, the County School Board Association, has been pushing to get involved in that some way or somehow. I've been sending off a lot of emails in the last 24 hours to different representatives and whatnot, so we'll see. And then today I actually went to the Educate Our State. I think most of you are familiar with that group. Actually had their sort of fundraising luncheon in San Francisco, and Delaine Easton spoke, and like usual, she was on fire. it was pretty interesting, but it was definitely just of sort of get the troops inspired kind of event, and of course to raise money. But that was really interesting. So I just wanted to mention those things. But they're, you know, they seem to be making a lot of progress. Superintendent.
Three quick things. I have to start with a big thank you to the principals. A lot of people don't know that this is the month of the principal. And so this morning
that was the month of the World Series.
We had a hosted coffee cupping at a new coffee shop around here. It was really nice. They treated us very nicely there, and just wanted to publicly thank the principals for the unbelievable work that they do. Best of the Bay. Second, Dr. Keating and I and John Triska and who else went with us?
Jen Heinschel.
Barbara Cohen. Yeah, a couple teachers. We all went and visited the Da Vinci Center in Stockton, where they have, it's a 21st century learning environment where they do a lot of the design and engineering work, and they do a lot of things that we have been talking about, so that was great. We're on the tour. We're going to other schools as well and just getting out and visiting places. That was great. I was telling someone, one of the coolest things is I had never seen a 3D printer before. That was phenomenal, you know, that you can model things on a computer and print it, and out comes an actual thing.
Right.
It was just unbelievable to do. Yeah, and to have it at that school, and it really made you think about that design. And
imagine the art projects you could do.
It's beautiful. And then the last one is that I had a meeting yesterday with Arundel. I told you all I'm on tour right now, going to all the sites, talking about facility master planning and answering questions. It was a very, very good session, actually. There were, I don't know, like 60 people. Probably more. I mean, it was a principal's coffee, but it was very well attended and great questions, and people were engaged, and I think excited to see different plans that are ahead of us. So it was a good, productive week.
All right. Okay, agenda setting. Are there any other items? Obviously, we didn't cover other than the one big item today, so nothing else came up for future meeting other than what we've talked about in the past, but is there anything we missed? Okay. All right. Then I will adjourn. Thank you all. And don't tell Craig about the...
And it is 9:20.